When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to My Gorgeous Son, the podcast featuring me, Broly Bush, my beautiful boy Andy, and our ever-present intern, Everardo Ramirez.
What up, what up?
Say hi, fellas.
Hi, fellas.
Hello, fellas.
Good.
Nice.
Hot hit out of the gate. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. I feel really centered, which is nice.
Centered?
Yeah, I'm centered and focused. I've been meditating. So
have you really?
Yeah, I really have been for the past week. I've been meditating.
Week. Oh yeah, this is gonna last.
No, I mean that's just I'm starting. I started in a week is.
You know what they say about the honeymoon period? It never ends. That's what's so beautiful about honeymoon. You just get to be on one forever.
Yeah.
So what's been your meditation approach?
Well, I've downloaded an app.
Okay.
And it's a British man just telling me to breathe very quietly and focus and. And it's okay.
Okay.
It's just him saying it's okay for about 10 minutes.
That sounds like it could also be a hostage taker app.
Yeah.
You've been taken hostage by an app, man in an app.
I mean, it's nice because it's all about...
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
It's honestly kind of what he sounds like. Although that's a little more Australian than British.
Brave.
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 Oh, no, that's... Anyway. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to be a little more present in life and not be constantly thinking... And you know, always in my head.
Yeah, so that's the loop.
Loop?
The loop, the sort of the self-hate loop.
The self-hate loop, yeah.
You ever been walking down the street and then all of a sudden a memory of something you said or did that you're ashamed of hits you and you just flinch on the street?
Mm. Hourly.
Like, oh, yeah. God.
Hourly.
All day.
Every hour.
Every hour on the hour.
Every hour.
I actually know that. That's how I keep track of time. When I hear a little moan come from downstairs, I'm like, it's two.
I go, oh, God, why did I do that? Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm so glad that they didn't have Facebook or Twitter or anything like that when I was growing up.
Because yeah, they still got yearbook quotes.
Yeah.
Those don't go away. And mine's a doozy.
What is your yearbook quote?
Doesn't matter.
What? No, what is your yearbook quote?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I really, really want to know what your yearbook quote is, even if we erase this, please.
Just say it was at a time in my life when I really wanted to be perceived as funny, but didn't quite know what that meant. Uh-huh. And then it was really down to the wire, and it was a toss-up between a Monty Python quote and something I saw on a novelty t-shirt.
Oh, and you went
That's
with
funny.
The...
I went for the t-shirt, and it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. Except for one thing I said in a lecture once, or in a seminar at university, that one other guy who thought I was an idiot, he clocked it, he repeated it under his breath in a way that made me say, oh God, that was a stupid thing to say, and he will remember it forever.
What was it? What was the thing?
Doesn't matter.
You can't, okay, wow. So you've done two, you, that's the difference between you. You don't lean into the embarrassment.
What's the difference between you and me?
You just don't.
I say an embarrassing and then I move on.
You don't actually lean into it.
I know.
Like when I was on Street Sense and I was brought into a middle school. What?
That's the Street Sense alarm. Anytime Andy mentions the fact that he was on Street Sense, we get to do our favorite Street Sense bit. Throwback. You're fit for the pit.
That's true.
Okay,
that's
Andy, now we're going to see if this anecdote is worth keeping or if it's fit for the pit.
It's probably going to be cut. So I was brought into a middle school to do a talk on success and how to be successful.
Sweet. And you wouldn't have been much older
than middle school. Oh, I was like 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I didn't, oh God, twice this has happened to me where I've been brought in at a young age to talk about being successful and I had no idea what that meant. So, but I thought I did. I thought I had a whole talk planned. I was ready to go. Went up to the board and I was like, all right, success. And I wrote it on the board and then I'm like, what is success? And then, of course, this kid put his hand
Webster's
up.
Webster's Dictionary defines success as. Yeah, perfect.
No.
Go on.
No, the kid.
Were you wearing a tweed jacket?
No, I was just dressed normally. I mean, whatever normal I was with the street sense.
Where
I
would wear naked, everything boobs.
It was very.
Boobs out, naked, tattoos to the eyeballs.
If you didn't see me when I was
but
like.
He did
I
have
was,
corduroy patches on his elbows.
I was cut. I was cut when I was like on street sense.
Oh, I've seen you get ripped.
Yeah,
I've
I was like you, ripped.
I've seen you ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And it's like I'll see you ripped and then I'll see you 2 months later holding more chips than I've ever seen one man hold.
Yeah.
Like a bag of chips full of bags of chips.
I really, really go back and forth. But for a while there, for a couple of years, I was just like straight, like just, I was like really, really cut. So I wore really tight clothes to show that off.
At the time, we called you Halifax's Kumail Nanjiani. And we didn't even know who he was at the time. We just felt that meant someone was ripped.
So I had that, and then I wrote that on the board, and I was like, what is success? And this kid puts his hand up, and he's like, you spelled success wrong. And wow. I had spelled success incorrectly.
Whoa.
On the board. I put it with one C instead of two, and then I just was fucked for the whole guy, the whole thing. I lost all respect.
Wow.
Like,
that kid put on sunglasses. He leaned back. Everyone focused on him for the rest of the time.
It was the most embarrassing, second most embarrassing moment, like in like public speaking I've ever had.
What's the first? Oh my God. What's the first? Yeah. Oh my God.
The first was I was brought to my high school to give the, what was it? The commencement speech to my high school.
There you were.
Yeah.
So how do we define success? Rowing a
chalkboard. I honestly wish it was that, because I wrote a speech and then I was doing it and I felt like it wasn't really hitting the way I wanted it to hit.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to... the motto of our high school was not to try is to fail. And I thought...
In Latin or just in like broken English?
No, it's just... Not to try is to fail, okay. But they changed it to try is to succeed, which I think is like...
That's worse.
Worse, yeah, because like, you know, you're not going to succeed if you try, but if you don't try, you definitely will
That's
fail.
That's like changing the Gretzky quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, to you make every shot you take.
Yeah, pretty much. So I wanted to say that, but my words got all jumbled and everything was kind of weird, and I felt like... All of my former teachers were sitting behind me, kind of like I was on the side. I felt like they were judging me. These kids were staring at me blankly. So then I did this thing, like, you know, in movies where, you know, you speak from the heart.
Yeah, you throw away your
speech. You throw away your speech.
Wow.
You're like, I did that.
Whoa.
I threw the speech away.
Oh, no.
And then I realized I had nothing. I thought it would come from somewhere. I thought some kind of soul. I thought it would like come in like the movies and I would like all be great.
Did
but
you
was...
at least turn a chair up backwards
no,
and sit on it
no.
that way?
Yeah, did you turn it upside down?
None of that.
Sit on it ass first.
No.
Puncture yourself and then scream you needed help.
I just,
and then waddle off.
I just literally ended up just kept saying, just try. You guys have to just try. Try, guys. Like I said that, like, I want to say six or seven times.
My God, how have you not written a movie with this scene in
it? And I was failing miserably as everyone was staring, trying to teach them about trying and success. But I should have said, like, not to try is to succeed, but sometimes when you try, you fail. Like, I was doing all of that.
You try to write success on a board again, except you've just written sweat. And then you're sweating so much.
Anyway, and I didn't even have a funny bit at the end because I couldn't be like stand up bit. We're like, well, this was garbage and I'm garbage. Goodbye. Like, you know, I couldn't because it was supposed to be the big commencement speech to get them to like start their fucking lives.
And then you dropped the mic at the end, but then apologized and picked up the mic and said, I'm so sorry. I rented this.
Yeah.
I need to get my deposit back. Wow. Well, Andy, those are two great stories.
Yep.
And you're very forthcoming. You're right. You are more forthcoming than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Ev, have you had a nice week?
I've had a great week. I actually saw Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
There?
In Toronto.
Really?
At Dundas Square.
Oh, Dundas Square, Toronto's Times Square.
Yes. I was petitioning actually at Dundas Square to get an M&M store at... Just like Times Square at Dundas Square.
Okay, so if anyone's not familiar with Dundas Square, it is like a mini Times Square. There's a combination of people in mascot costumes taking mm-hmm. photos, tourists, big, you know, sort of digital billboards,
TVs and shit.
And then, but then there's also people screaming about Jesus.
Yes.
Into like little tiny microphones, tinny microphones with little handheld amps.
Yeah. And I was competing with one of those guys.
You had a microphone and an amp?
Yeah. And
you're screaming about wanting, what did you want again?
I said, we should have an M&M store here.
What does that mean? What's an M&M store?
Okay, if you've ever been to Times Square, you'll know the most famous part about Times Square is there's an M&M's store.
Okay.
You know M&M's candy?
There's no way this is the most famous thing about Times Square, because I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. My family came from Mexico, visited Times Square. That's the first place they went to.
Okay.
Maybe it's famous in Mexico.
Maybe. Yeah, they love M&M's.
Yeah. What do they call M&M's in Mexico?
They call them M-A-M-S.
Say it again.
Stop.
I don't know.
M-A-M-S?
No.
No, they call them Eminem Store.
Eminem Store.
Yeah.
Which sounds a lot like if Eminem the rapper had a store.
Yeah.
Eminem Store.
They love that. So
I
was
just trying to... You walk into Eminem Store, and there's a guy who greets you, and he's like, I'm going to kill my wife and daughter. I'm not gay. How can I help you?
Sorry, like, well, Haley.
Sorry, Kim. Sorry, Haley. Another rapper walks in. They're like, let's go. The lights turn.
When he called himself an Eminem, when he called himself Eminem, that he knew what he was doing, right?
Marshall N. Mathers.
You're asking if he accidentally sort of referenced the candy M&M?
Like, I know. Yeah, I know he probably knew what M&M was, but I'm just curious. Was it supposed to be like a pun on the candy?
I think it was a conscious little reference.
Okay.
You'll see that a lot in rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really remember Pharrell's band, Nerd?
Yeah, it was like the
referencing
candy
the
nerds.
Candy nerds.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
There's Licorice Boy.
Yeah.
It's a good Dirty South rapper.
Yeah, Licorice Boy.
And like so many young rappers, when he became a certain age, changed his name to just Licorice. And now he goes by Big Licorice.
Oh, okay.
Can't forget Runt.
Yeah, Runt. That was Pharrell's other band before he really settled on Nerd.
So anyway, there I was at Dundas Square petitioning for a new M&M store when I look over and I saw a guy doing a kind of like a Charlie Chaplin impression on the street. And this guy was hilarious. I stopped what I was doing and watched him. And I realized it was Harry, Prince Harry.
Oh.
he had everything. The famous little mustache. He was walking around.
Right, so...
The classic red armband.
Okay.
And this was a perfect Chaplin he was doing. And I guess he's just, has to grind like the rest of us.
So you're referring to one Chaplin character in particular from The Great Dictator.
Is that the little tramp himself.
Oh, the little tramp wearing his red armband. So
his
I
red
feel
armband,
like,
walking
can I just
funny.
Ask, did he seem particularly like a very, very angry version of Charlie Chaplin? Was he very angry?
Was he pointing at
all the billboards up there constantly
he was
in the sky?
Something just a bit above shoulder level.
He was frustrated and walking around and screaming. He also was eating a boot, so it's interesting.
Okay, so may I say whether this. It feels like there's a lot going on in this anecdote. You either saw Harry wearing his famous Halloween Hitler costume going absolutely bananas in Dundas Square, or you just saw someone dressed as Hitler eating a boot. And that seems more likely. What made you say this is Harry?
Well, he was waving at someone, I assume across the street shopping.
Okay.
And he kept... he kept saying, hi, to Meghan Markle, I assume.
Right.
And this guy, I knew that Prince Harry and Meghan are in town and they're looking for work and honest jobs. And I thought, this guy, he looks a little too familiar. I'm sure it's Prince Harry. And when I asked him if he was, he said no. And I thought, that's exactly what someone in hiding would say.
Sure. Okay. But you didn't look over to see who he was waving at. You just assumed it was Meghan Markle.
It was pretty busy on the other side of the street, so I couldn't see exactly who, but I had a feeling. There was a lady with brown hair.
Well, there you have it. Meghan Markle with her famous brown hair.
Okay.
Well, may I say, Meghan Markle, M&M. There we are.
Oh, shit.
That's the full circle we were looking for. That's nice. Our guest is a long-haul trucker. He moves product like nobody's business. I met him at a truck stop like a couple hours ago. I needed a guest for this episode. In no way does this tie in to the overall lesson of teaching Andy something about himself, unless it does. Please welcome the esteemed Stu Sidewinder Squoad.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you for sitting there and letting us riff for, I gotta say, an hour. It's been said, and I gotta repeat it.
Well, look, I'm a long-haul truck driver, so, you know, hours pass by like minutes for me, so, you know.
It's nice. That's a good way of putting it.
I mean, is this going out on CB, Stevan? Is this going out on CB?
Is this going out on CB
radio? CB
radio?
Come on back now. Citizen Band Radio? Come on back now.
You mean, are we releasing this episode from one truck to another?
That's right. Come on. This is Sidewinder. Come on, Christmas Carol. You got your ears on? Come on now. Come on back now.
Oh, yeah, Christmas Carol. Is that a friend of yours in the truck scene?
In the truck scene, Christmas Carol. She's a lovely lady, and she loves Christmas. She gives us all us truckers. There's a million truckers in America. Gives us all gifts over the CB. And personalized messages over the CB.
Does every trucker have a nickname, and how do you get a trucker nickname?
Yeah.
Holy hell. So I used to really want to be in the military, but I got one leg. I got the one leg, so they wouldn't let me in. I wanted to fire missiles out of a jump jet, so, you know, Sidewinder. They call me Sidewinder.
You need two legs to be a pilot?
Apparently there's pedals in the damn things. I mean, there's pedals in the truck. Yeah.
Pedals?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah,
there are pedals. Yes.
Sorry. I was picturing bicycle pedals.
No. That's what
we're all idiots like today.
A steampunk plane powered by bicycles.
They got those too, though. Apparently, they got
travel around the world in 80 days on this thing.
Yeah. I want it to be a pig pilot in a Miyazaki movie. Okay. Yeah. Pedals. Pedals in a plane. I mean, actually, that sounds wrong for another reason. There's no pedals in a plane, are there?
There is pedals in a plane,
to operate
of course.
The rudder.
The pitch and roll and all that
like
stuff,
like brake
right?
pedals?
No, there's to operate the rudder, you got a right leg pedal. And, of course, to go left, you got the left leg pedal. For the rudder.
Wait, so you're supposed to, because I know when...
But I'm a truck driver, so...
When you drive a car, they say, don't use that left
leg. Don't use that left leg. But in a plane, you be able to use both.
Wow. I'm going to actually take your word for this because I don't know if it's true. But so you couldn't do that, so you got into trucking
instead.
So
I got into trucking instead, and everyone's like, well, where you come from? I was like, well, I wanted to be in the military. They wouldn't let me in, so they call me Sidewinder. I'm a military. I wanted to be in the military, you know? I got the double action shotgun in the cab, my Peterbilt truck, ready to go, baby.
Why do you have a shotgun in the truck?
Because, you know, hey, look, sometimes you're hitting rural roads and you don't want to be deliverance, you know?
Oh, I see.
You
okay.
don't want to be deliverance. I don't know what that reference is. People tell me that. But
have you ever had to use it?
I've shot it off in the air a couple times to scare away some kids.
Some kids? Wow.
Kids who are, like, swarming your truck?
That's the thing. I got the one leg, so they make fun of me. You know, I come through. They're like, they see me gassing up my truck. They're like, oh, look at that idiot one leg.
Do it to scare them because they're making fun of your leg.
I fired in the air, you know. I fired in the air.
A little warning shot.
A little warning shot.
For the kids.
Yeah.
How old are kids are we talking here?
We're talking youths. We're talking like 15 to 16.
Oh, okay.
We're talking
Well, they should know better youths. By that point, yeah.
Well, that's not as bad as little kids.
Yeah, they're not like 70.
I have brandished my gun at a little kid for looking at me funny.
You pointed it at him.
Pointed it at. It may have been loaded. No, come on. I'm a truck driver.
Did you? Okay, every time you elaborate, it gets a little worse. Have you fired on a little kid?
Well, okay, look, I may have had some blanks in there, and I fired it toward someone with a little kid. But look, it's not my fault.
Blanks. It's a blank.
It's a blank, exactly.
So you fire blanks?
Not all the time. I keep a box of both in the back. I don't exactly know. Sometimes I don't know what's in there, but, you know. So I fire in the air. Ordinarily, I fire in the air.
But when you do fire at someone,
it's a blank.
Yeah, but
anyway.
But they think they're getting shot.
And they might be.
Well, that's why I'm the Sidewinder, you know? I might shoot you. Yeah, come on back.
I feel like I don't know what Sidewinder means, and you're imbuing it with a dozen different meanings.
Well, I'm a Sidewinder, you know? When I hug people, I'm coming from the side, you know?
Okay, that's another new meaning. What does Sidewinder mean?
I think originally it's like a missile.
Okay.
Missile. Yeah.
Sidewinder sounds like an R.E.M. song.
Okay.
R.E.M.
Do we know R.E.M.?
Sing a real R.E.M. song for a second.
Okay, what's
Everybody
real...
Hurts.
The only R.E.M. lyric that I know is that one song where he's like, na 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 na, Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, man.
You know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it's the End of the World as We Know It.
Oh, that song, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I only know when he says Leonard Bernstein.
Okay, so you only know him when he shouts a bit.
Yeah, so this is a bad example.
What about If You Believe You're a Man on the Moon?
Yeah.
Man on the Moon.
I don't know why I'm so nervous to sing right now. I feel like I'm on The Voice.
Yeah. You want us to turn our backs on you?
Yeah. Turn your back when I finally get the impression.
It's going to be a rare instance of us turning our backs on someone in the podcast not named Andy. And that's more of a spiritual back turning on something he's revealed.
It's like, man on the moon. Is that how it goes?
That's just your voice. And you just did.
You're doing less and less of the lines that you know the lyrics to.
All right. Never mind.
If you... Is it? Maybe it is up where you had it.
Like, if you believe. That's kind of what I was doing before.
Yeah, why? Oh, no. Why is this hard?
You guys all got great voices for CB radio, though. Let me tell you. Come
I
on,
feel
back
like
now.
Once we crack it, it'll be easy.
You know
you
what?
Crack it and get to the yolk.
I thought I could easily make fun of REM, and I'm realizing that that is a voice.
What's the frequency? Unlike can anyway. Ever say? Anyway,
that's kind of that's it. Smooth. Yeah. That's
if you believe, they put a man on the moon.
So basically, what I was
man
doing.
Man on the moon.
Man on the moon.
If you believe,
yeah.
They put a man on the moon.
Oh, that's good.
Do that.
REM.
Man on the moon.
What's crazy is I do a perfect Peter Buck impression.
Well, come on now.
REM. What we've learned is they're very hard to do. What we've also learned is...
We probably can't use this because we used music. Can we use it? Oh, okay. Fair use?
Snippet.
Fair use?
Fair use.
Fair use.
Fair use.
If you're commenting on it... I mean, what do I know? Drop truck.
You're just a truck driver. I also have
you're a truck driver. You're going to teach us about parody law?
Well, you know, there's a guy on there who used to be a lawyer. So on the CB, drop truck now.
Oh,
what was his nickname?
He talked about... Well, they call him NYPD Blue.
And, why?
Well, that's not lawyer.
That's
I mean, cop.
We call.
No, carry on. You've said what you've said. Now elaborate.
Look, I don't know music. REM, you know, I thought that was just a condition of, you know, getting enough sleep, you know. I only know two. I mean, look, I know Kenny Rogers. I know Smokey and the Bandit, whatever song, Eastbound and Down. That's me, baby. That's, I don't know.
Is that all you listen to on these long drives?
I don't really
Smokey
listen to
Smokey and the Bandit is a movie about a trucker.
About, that's right. And actually, I was
like
the real
driver.
Life, I was a real life inspiration for that film. Bo Derville, as played by Burt Reynolds, I think it was. That's me, baby. I had to.
You drive. Were the Bandit?
I was the Bandit. I was the Bandit. I've been the Bandit. Never
Wait.
Been caught.
Oh, yeah. Smokey's like. Like when you see a
chief.
Cop.
He's the, yeah, that's right, Smokey. That's
right,
Smokey.
You're the Bandit.
And I'm the Bandit. Yeah.
So I can't remember the plot of that movie, actually.
Well, nobody does. It doesn't make any sense.
He's supposed to take a bunch of beer across state lines.
That's right.
Into a state where it's like weird modern prohibition or something's going on.
Yeah, well, there's still dry states, or there was back
there's
then.
There's dry states. And also, you couldn't sell Coors Light. I think specifically it was Coors Light. You couldn't sell in the movie or something. In this case, it was like RC Cola.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing where you couldn't sell RC Cola, Royal Crown Cola, in the southern United States because they friggin' hated, you know what I'm talking about?
Royalty.
The royalty, exactly.
Sure.
So I had to run, I ran it. We called it rum running, but of course it was Royal Crown Cola running, you know.
Yeah.
So you just would bring Coke, like, or just, I guess,
Royal
Cola.
Crown, come
Royal
on, man.
Crown.
Don't
Not
call
Coca-Cola.
It
Coca-Cola. Yeah, yeah, of
no,
course.
That's of course.
It's way different.
Way different, man. That's like, holy hell, man.
Isn't RC Cola kind of like, kind of worse than...
Yeah, isn't it generally accepted to be the worst cola?
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun to do the thing that's kind of illegal, you know?
So have you spent time in jail?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they do in jail is they let me bring my truck in there and the big house.
No,
it's the big house. That's why they call it the big house.
Oh, because it's big enough to fit a truck. That's why they call it the big house.
18-wheeler truck.
Well, not the whole friggin' trailer.
Oh, just the cab.
Just the cab.
Oh, well, no, just the cab.
And in some cases, the part that separates from the engine, and so I can have like a little bed in there, you know.
So they just let you sleep in your bed in the jail?
Yeah, come on. Right.
So what? Wait, no.
Wait, so you're locked in your truck cabin.
Locked in my truck.
Oh, yeah,
The jail property.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's your jail.
And that's
sentence.
Where I live. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But in a
that's fair.
In an edifice big enough to accommodate.
You understand. You guys understand. Yeah. It's
sounds
like a hangar.
Yeah, it makes sense.
A hangar.
Like a hangar.
And this is an official jail.
The big house. Come on, you guys have heard the big house.
So wait a second. So when you're doing all this stuff and you're in the cab, do they bring their bring the meals to you, or do you?
Yeah,
are
they
you,
bring me meals. You know, I got conjugal visits in my cab. You know,
it sounds like you just get to chill out in your cab for a while.
Being a trucker has its advantages. I mean, that's why we all voted for Trump. You know, Trump really helped us out in that.
Oh, did he?
In what way?
You know, he stood up for truckers' rights. When truckers go to jail, they get to bring their cab into the big house.
Oh, so this is a brand new development.
This is huge, baby.
Because it sounded like you were describing stories that span years.
Yeah,
but you're talking
2 years ago, yeah.
But for the last 2 years, is that when you've been in jail? Were you in jail before that?
I was in jail for, I want to say, 30 days 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay. So all of this stuff, the RC Cola stuff, all of this.
No, that happened a long time ago, the RC Cola stuff.
But you were only caught in the last 2 years.
I was only caught recently. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
And what were you caught for? For smuggling RC? Was this a different
thing? For brandishing my gun at some kids.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That, and only 30 days.
Yeah.
So I guess you didn't fire the...
Had a great lawyer, NYPD Blue. Remember, my guy, Law and Order, was a school teacher, so he didn't do... He didn't help me.
Yeah, these names are so complicated. Is there a trucker named School Teacher who used to do something completely unrelated to that?
School Teacher. Let me think here. You're thinking about the guy that used to dig grave. Yeah, he dug graves.
Oh, there's a trucker named School Teacher.
Who dug graves.
Who used to dig graves.
And we have a guy named Grave Digger who just, he doesn't drive a truck anymore. He's dead.
But
Grave Digger was a truck.
Why are all these people, like, they all had former jobs? Or anyone who just, like, was a truck driver and stayed? Like, it just seems like everyone who had a job and then they decided to become truck drivers.
No one decides to be truck driver. It calls you, man.
So
it
what did you? I got two questions.
Yeah.
First of all, what did school teacher, who was a grave digger, how did he get the name school teacher?
Because, I mean, when you're digging grave, man, you got a lot of time to teach and preach. You know what I'm talking about. So we call him school teacher, you know. We would have called him professor, but there was a guy that did.
This sounds like Cockney slang or something.
No, let me correct this. Okay. When you are digging a grave alone, presumably, you don't have a lot of time to teach.
Sure.
That needs a group. Teaching needs at least one other person.
Well, you were talking about the Socratic method, you know. What do I know about that? I drive truck. I'm just saying you just need one other guy there that's older than the one other guy who just likes to talk about what he's learned over the years.
So there might be a second grave digger and he'd teach him.
And he teach or preach.
Now,
okay.
I mean, that actually kind of makes sense, I guess.
Know, we got there.
I have a question about this, like, people who have become truck drivers. Because I have an uncle who became a truck driver.
Oh, of course. So he was something else before. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah, he was. He just worked at an office before.
Would you say it was your uncle?
His name was Dennis, but
what was his trucker name?
He went by Baby Bird.
Baby Bird! Holy smokes! Baby Bird!
You know Baby Bird?
Of course I know Baby Bird!
Oh, man. Oh. I haven't seen him in years.
Hold on. Okay, if there's millions of truck drivers out there, you think you know the Baby Bird? They all have the exact, like, don't you think there's any of the name overlap?
What, do you have to, like, register a nickname?
You should be, like, Baby Bird 44762 or something
like
that?
Well, that's the thing. It's like the Screen Actors Guild, which I know nothing about. I drive.
Andy wants to know if it's email rules.
Yeah.
Do you have to add a number, like your year of birth?
It's more like you got to go by, no, it's got to be a unique name, like David X. Cohen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a unique name. Right?
Every truck driver has to paint their name on an egg, and that's in a museum somewhere, and have one.
Because, like, on IMDb, I am the very first Andrew Bush. Very first.
Whoa.
Andrew Bush. You know, they have the little things. They have one guy. I'm the very first one to register.
Wow,
there's, like, I want to say now 11 or 12 Andrew Bushes. I'm the first.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so
on
that's...
On the internet moving product.
On the... Yeah.
Moving product database.
No, internet movie database. There's not moving product. That would be IMPDB. So.
Well, no. Moving product, we just lose the P. Right.
Oh, really? So you just say
there's an IMDb for us as well, yeah.
It's like
there's an IMDb for truckers?
Yeah.
What's the
International Moving Product Database.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no trucker in there at all.
Moving product, baby.
Okay.
And that includes everybody. People who, shipping guys, those big friggin' tankers on the ocean.
FedEx as well.
FedEx, man, guys. Some pilots, cargo, any freight, man.
You know what I think they should call FedEx?
What?
Fed up, because every time.
Good God.
I get a package.
Can I quickly...
It's not what I asked for. I'm sick of seeing the brown uniforms.
That's UPS.
That's UPS.
Well, I'm sick of that too. You know what UPS should be called?
What?
Fed UPS. Fed ups. Because it should have the same... It should be basically the same name as the new FedEx. They should all be lumped into one company. Get on it, Bezos. And it should all be called Fed Up. And because that's how I feel. Because it makes me sick of the brown uniforms. I'm sick of the uniforms they wear for FedEx too, which are the blue ones.
Right.
Because they make me feel blue.
Can I quickly just put as an aside, because you were talking about...
I got one more thing I got to say.
Oh, fucking Jesus.
You know what they should call Amazon delivery?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Fed up.
Well, I'm glad you stopped me for that, Dad.
Because I am fed up with Amazon delivery.
I'm
fed up with the cart system. All right, Andy?
I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Andy!
I had a question about Because you were saying that everyone had a former job. Everyone was a trucker had a former job.
Usually, yeah.
I feel like that's the same with like Uber drivers, too. They always talk about the jobs they used to have, and now they have to drive Ubers. Have you ever done any Uber stuff?
Oh, no. Those guys are scabs to me, man. You got to get a full-on license.
You got
to
be part of the union.
You got to go get a union. You got to pay your dues. There's something called paying dues.
Anyhow, I just wanted some advice because this is a true story. I met an Uber driver who said he was just getting back, getting his company back on track after 10 years of an illness. And he wants to...
Psycho place to laugh.
Yeah, you're right. That is really awful. That sounds awful. Because I was trying... because he himself...
No, it's funny that he thinks he can get his business back.
when you hear what he was doing, he was...
Sick people are adorable.
Okay, wait.
They think they can just reintegrate.
Oh, God damn it.
Well, that's why.
Anyway, he was moving oil, was what I'm saying. He's like, he was telling me that he was moving 20 million barrels of oil.
By himself? With no truck?
To Ev, China.
Ev saw the glimmer in my eye.
To China.
Do you know what I call having diarrhea? Moving oil, baby. Moving oil.
And he said he wanted to support the arts and he wanted to fund any kind of movie I had. So he gave me his email. And said I should contact him if I wanted money for the movie.
When did you meet this guy?
It was in an Uber drive.
You can call him whenever
you want. So I'm nervous. I was like, I'm not going to fucking call this, like, email this guy.
Was this recent?
Yeah, it was like a couple days ago.
What was his name?
I'm not kidding.
What was his Uber name?
What do you mean Uber? I don't know.
Did he have an Uber nickname?
Did he have an Uber handle? Like
Stuber had?
Yeah, come on.
Stuber?
No. Come on now.
His name was not Stuber. He was an older gentleman. He was sick for 10 years. And apparently, I think his business involved exploiting the third world. So it felt a little weird because all of his stuff was like, I made my business getting, Clementines from Ecuador. And then shipping them up, and then I got business contacts in China, and now I ship oil from Ecuador. It all seemed real weird.
But Andy, this guy was an Uber driver.
I know.
So he doesn't have that money.
I don't think he does, but he said, like, I'm just doing it to
produce your movie.
Like, I'm just doing it to chill out. Like, I'm just like, he's getting back from his sickness. See, he was sick for 10 years.
Sick with what?
Ooh.
I don't know. So anyway, I was kind of like trying to like stop the conversation, but he kept talking about it, but I also didn't want to like hurt his feelings, but I also was like, well, maybe he'll pay for a movie.
Andy, no. I'm not saying this guy was definitely a liar, but this sounds like a lie.
Well, here's the thing, though. His email had a
honest guy.
It was an Irish-based email. It's based in Ireland because his company is based in Ireland, so he can get through, like, to deal with taxes.
What was the what do you mean? Like, what was it?
It was like a .ireland.uk or something like that. Huh. So I'm just saying, maybe he's shady as hell.
Well,
probably.
He's Irish, so
he wasn't Irish.
Honest,
he was not Irish.
Honest
and he
bloke.
Was. He was head to toe in like he was in jogging pants as well. But like I honestly
head to toe in jogging pants. Head to toe. Nope, just the pants, ma'am. Yeah. Just the pants.
His pants pulled up right. Yeah.
little face hole. His arms.
He cut a hole out of the crotch, and it just pulled it up, and his face was poking out.
He looked like animated pants in like a weird Schoolhouse Rock video that was teaching you about something to do with legs.
I don't know. I'm
something to do with athletics. The importance of it.
But I'm thinking I'm going to email him and maybe I'll get back to you next week and see what he says.
You know what I think? He was trying to take you out to a movie. He'd pay for the movie.
Oh,
that,
you think
you
so?
You know, $12 or whatever.
Do you think this was maybe a come-on?
A come-on. This guy, he's coming on.
He seemed like he was trying to impress you.
He did talk a lot about it.
I'm proud that you're getting out there, networking again, meeting producers. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
meeting people.
I mean, I can't say his name because I don't want to, but I have it here and I'm still not sure. I'm not sure.
Is he on IMDb?
I should check. Well, no, because he doesn't do anything in the arts.
Right.
He moves oil.
And he's also not a
trucker.
He
moves oil to China.
Did I already say that that's my term for having diarrhea?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who follows the podcast and knows that we have a tenant named Silent Bob who is in every respect like that Silent Bob, but he's not that Silent Bob and he hates that. You'll be happy to know a small development is that Silent Bob has decided to become our dog now. And he's nude all the time. He's lost his trademark trench coat. And we got him a dog bed, and he wears a little leash, and we feed him from a bowl. Well, that's not too new. And he's actually become a lot more manageable. And Andy brought him to the dog park the other day and picked up some chicks, didn't you?
Yeah.
A bunch of chicks were interested in who's this naked guy?
Several chicks.
On a leash.
With a naked guy painted with like dog fur.
Oh, yeah, you've got that, that paint nice. On like the... LeBron James's fake hair.
Yeah.
paint on dog fur for Silent Bob.
Yeah, pretty much. So they, I don't know. It was very weird. They like, it's so clear that he's not a dog, but all the girls still came over to me and talked to me. Like they, no one mentioned the fact that it's clearly a naked man with some spray on.
They don't
fur.
Mention it. They buy the lie.
They buy the lie. They just thought he was cute. They asked him how old he was.
How old did you say? I don't know.
What? How old Silent Bob was?
Yeah.
In dog years.
Yeah. Oh, well, like I just said seven. Seven's just the year, you know, like it seemed to not. I mean, I don't know how old Silent Bob is actually. I don't even know who. I don't know. He looks ageless to me.
He's so well behaved, though.
He's ageless.
He was very, very quiet, and he played the part well. So I got a few numbers.
And they asked if he was neutered.
Yeah, they asked.
You said yeah, because we did recently get him neutered.
Yeah,
good for you. You got a neuter. You got a spay and neuter.
And that's why he wears the cone on his head.
That's right. Yeah,
because he's trying to bite at his own wee wee.
At his own wee wee. Yeah, he's incredibly flexible for such a you know I'd say rotund man. So
he is flexible.
Yeah, he is very, very flexible. But yeah, it was quite nice. I got a couple numbers, and it was, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to call them or not, but like, yeah, it was nice.
Whoa. You're not going to call any of these numbers. Though.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to call people or date or anything like that right now. So
Andy recently became single.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah. So I'm still
welcome aboard, brother.
I'm
to become a trucker. Let me tell you.
Yeah. I might just do that.
You, let me tell you. We invented the glory hole. I mean, I was there. Oh, well, I was there when we drilled it, baby.
Yeah, that's great. But I'm not going to.
We drilled it.
I'll pass
baby.
On the
that's
glory
cool.
hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, may I say, I called Andy single, and I don't want there to be any confusion that I'm referring to the Kumail Nanjiani movie about a jingle writer named Stewart.
Stingle.
No, that's single. It was before. I don't know why they didn't add.
They didn't
the
put
T,
the T.
But it just calls it single.
Oh, because
maybe they do call confusing. It Stingle. But he's single and he's Stewart and he writes jingles.
And Sting appears in the movie, so that's good.
Sting is in
Sting.
The
Sting. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
Sting is his mentor, his like jacked mentor in this one.
Oh, actually, I think this is the first one. So there's just one moment where someone says Stingle, and then you see Sting poke his head out and say, "Did you mean me?" No, I said Stingle, not Sting. And he goes, "My mistake." And then he rolls up his...
So it was Sting doing an impression of David Bowie coming out? Because that sounds like David Bowie.
I don't know. That's how he's... Maybe I can't do it. Sting. I'm sorry, Andy. You do your Sting. What's your perfect Sting impression?
Hello. I'm Sting.
That sounds like Michael Caine with a cold.
That still sounds like Bowie to me. That sounds like sexy.
All right, I just need to hear him once, and I can do Sting.
Oh my God, please!
I can do Sting.
Yeah, really easy.
I'm gonna go back to having sex with my wife.
I can totally do Sting.
Or is that Sting? That sounds like a Spinal Tap.
yeah. Wait a second, I'll get some Sting playing here. Down, sweet chariot. Let sweet chariot to swing on down.
Stop. Saying so he could get on. Now this is what we do. We playing the role of that sweet cherry, and we swing down to pick
you up. Is that Sting?
That was Sting. Whoa! I know that. I came up with that.
Oh my God! I just thought of another chocolate bar candy wrapper. Choclair.
Oh.
Oh my God!
That's a good one.
We missed him.
Choclair, my first concert I ever went to.
Wow.
It was a benefit. Choclair, Bruce Coburn. And Our Lady Peace.
Was it SARS Fest?
It was SARS Fest. No, it was I think it was a 9/11 thing.
I think they're going to bring Choclair back for the Coronavirus Fest.
Oh my Lord.
I'm excited for that.
I've already seen the lineup. They're holding it in Young and Dundas Square.
Mm. Corona Fest?
It's Coronavirus Fest. Mm. Sponsored by
Corona.
Corona didn't get it.
What?
Wow. I think they did.
It's weirdly
but
sponsored
they didn't get
by...
it. Dos Equis got it. And the most interesting man in the world is going to play Moonlight Sonata at some point.
So you're getting it now. Yeah. It's like the Trucker Universe, man. You get the name. It has nothing to do with the thing. You
doesn't
know?
Need
on.
To. So the most interesting man in the world is going to be there spewing, I think, hate over the Moonlight Sonata.
Okay.
Choclair is going to be there and the rest of the Baby Blue Sound crew, which including other... candy wrappers like Mr. Skittles.
Oh, exciting.
And Lil Mr. Big.
And Caramel Official.
Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't say Notorious. Caramel Official.
What about.
I can't believe I didn't say Notorious B.I.G. was named after the Mr. Big. What's wrong with
you? Well, me? I know. I thought you were doing a misdirect.
I. Misdirect.
Yeah.
Misdirect is my favorite rapper.
Misdirect, yeah. What about Tim Bit?
Tim Bit. Whoa, I love Tim Bit.
Yeah, yeah. He's
great. Roll up the rim to die. I'll never forget what you said to my what you did to my life. And here I rap from the inside of my cell. I roll up the rim. Roll up the rim. It's now time for our favorite segment, where we get to read a chunk of the script that Everardo, for real, was asked to make edits to some time ago now. It was written by an Italian man, and it's about fashion models in Milan. We've already read several scenes.
Yeah, we've read several scenes.
What needs to be said is that Ev's job, he was approached by this director and screenwriter, he asked Everardo to fix up the English.
Yeah, fix up grammatical stuff, modernize it by adding cell phones, and remove some of the sexiness, but keep some of it.
And it truly is the horniest script we've ever read.
It's extremely horny.
This side of porno.
Did you add any CB radio?
No, but maybe I should have.
Okay, that's ageless.
Kind of timeless
now,
tech.
Ev, if you could, for our new listeners and for our guest here, could you please try your best to recap
where we are here?
The script as it's happened so far?
Yeah, okay, so it starts with Sybil, that's our hero, the Canadian girl, getting checked up at the doctor's office. The doctor thinks she's too skinny and doesn't agree with modeling and prescribes her a plate of spaghetti.
That's right.
Then we get to Milan, the International Fashion Academy, where she meets Matilda, her teacher, who assigns them a homework assignment to figure out what charisma is. And then we get to know the pairings of each roommate. Sybil is with the Italian girl, Lucrezia, who I forget her backstory, but there's like other, we learn everyone's backstory. One girl is Russian and has a blue ass, because everyone pinched her ass, so she smuggled her way to Germany, and then now is in Milan being a model.
I forgot about this.
Blue ass.
Okay. There's the Brazilian girl who was naked at a fashion show and quit. When she found out she was accepted to Model Academy, tore off her panties and threw it at her boss in the face.
She quit model work.
She quit model work to go to model school.
Okay. All right.
Which is interesting. Yeah. And we've learned... Oh, another girl's backstory is that her mom works at a hotel, which I guess is disgraceful. So she has to be a model.
Oh, yeah, because she gets it hard from the customers at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So she wants to raise her mom up.
Yeah, and her mom's like, you got to get out of here. This hotel's no good for you.
Right.
And then a French girl, I think, is a home wrecker, is having an affair with someone who's married with children. And I think that's all the backstories we've got today so far. And now we are at the, we're on page 23.
Okay.
It's been mentioned before that Sybil and Lucrezia, they're going to go out to the Blue Monkey Bar. And so we are now at the Blue Monkey Bar Lounge.
Oh, finally.
And there's literally, I'm just going to skim through this page because it's an entire page of just stage directions setting up that it's a bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, full of some sons of prominent families, entrepreneurship of Milan, hungry young entrepreneurs, Playboy, and all those who belong to the world of nightlife of Milan.
Okay.
So it's a page more going on. Then we get to meet Terrence, who is a British bartender who is looking at the girls.
Ooh, nice.
And Andrea... Leaning behind the counter, there is Andrea, who is described as Italian with black eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's just go to page 24. Andrea.
Okay, so who's playing whom?
Gotcha.
You got to play your characters.
Why don't you play Andrea there, Stu?
All right, great.
And Ev, do you want to play Lucrezia? And Andy, do you want to play Sybil?
Sure thing.
I guess we
also got Luigi as well, and
this
Terrence.
Scene, there is quite a few characters.
So we'll just pick it up.
We'll figure it out as
we go. Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're in the Blue Monkey Bar. Leaning back to the counter to get Lucrezia, there is Andrea. Andrea, 30 years, Italian, black eyes, black short hair, wearing a dark jacket, black shirt open at the neck, dark jeans, and at his side, Luigi, 30 years old, Italian, clear eyes.
Yeah, black and clear just eyes. I don't
light. See through to the back of his
brain
of
his skull. Light curly hair, wearing a blue jeans and white shirt open at the neck. Andrea takes Lucrezia's hand and kisses her on the cheeks.
Dear Lucrezia, let me see. You're so beautiful tonight.
Lucrezia, followed by Sybil, returns the kisses on the cheeks.
Why, I'm usually ugly.
Andrea shifts slightly to make room for his friend, turns his eyes on Sybil.
Never. Impossible. Also, your girlfriend is gorgeous.
Sybil holds out her hand to introduce herself.
Hi, Sybil.
Andrea, shaking her hand, and points to his friend.
And he's Luigi.
Luigi shakes hands before Sybil, and then Lucrezia turns to Andrea.
You
wants to be Luigi?
Yeah, I guess I'll be Luigi.
You be Luigi.
You told me that she was fine, but you girls are a lot more than I can imagine.
Terrence, now, fitting into the conversation, turns to Sybil.
What would you like?
Sybil turns to Lucrezia.
You?
Two margaritas.
Lucrezia.
Line of dialogue has directions, by the way.
It's a bit exhausting. She says two margaritas, and then she also says...
The best in Milan.
Terrence.
Sorry. Not only in Milan.
Lucrezia.
You should see him when he gets three cocktails at the same time.
Terrence.
Even five is not as difficult as it was for Bach compose a piece for six voices.
Andrea, annoyed by the attention of the girls for Terrence, gets between them and the counter.
Interesting. We also have the intellectual bartender.
It is our classic three exclamation points followed by an ellipsis. Sybil, indifferent to the words of Andrea, fixed to watch the shaker soar almost to the ceiling and got behind his back by Terrence, applauds.
Great. That's it.
Luigi, obviously annoyed, spoke arrogantly, turns to the girls.
Perhaps you prefer to spend the evening with him instead of with us, three exclamation point ellipses.
Then Lucrezia says,
this is a great idea.
Andrea.
Luigi was just joking.
Lucrezia, sarcastic, gets space between the two men to take the glasses that Terrence has finished filling, leaning on the counter.
I too. What you think?
Lucrezia then continues.
Watch, there is an empty table.
Luigi says.
But, yeah, I'm happy.
Then Andrea raises his voice, puts a hand on the shoulder of Luigi to stop him from following the girls, attracting the eyes of those around them.
Let them go. Are too homeless.
What?
Then, what the fuck? Okay.
Confusing.
So, what's happening?
The scene does continue.
What?
For a few more pages. I guess we'll just... Should we end this scene at the Blue Monkey Bar?
No, I just want to commend you on choosing the most... incomprehensible and boring part
it's
of this
boring
scene.
There's so many people going on. What, who's well, the homeless
kind of,
people?
It kind of continues. They're not actually homeless. That's just, Andrea digging at them that they're okay. Homeless.
Because he's upset that they're paying attention to Terrence.
Yeah. Basically, right. These two guys are trying to talk to these girls, and they're interested in Terrence, the hot bartender.
Right.
And then...
I see.
Then in the next scene, Nestor shows up, also with black eyes.
At the first table where they pass the two girls standing, there is Nestor, 55 years old, Italian from Naples, black eyes, gray short hair, physically strong, wearing a dark tailored suit and dark shirt, is talking with customers, but his attention is drawn to the tone of voice used by Andrea. Nestor follows with his eyes the two girls and apologizes to customers to get close to Andrea and Luigi, nodding with his eyes to catch up to a man 6 feet tall, bodybuilder physique, Filippo, Italian, black eyes and black short hair, wearing a black pants and tight black t-shirt that shows off the huge muscles. Mm-hmm. So Nestor is like a sort of...
I think Nestor is the bar owner.
Right, and he doesn't like what's going on.
He doesn't like what's going
Andrea's
on.
Andrea's tone of voice.
So he's coming up to them.
So, Andy, why don't you play Nestor, too, with a nice deep voice.
All right. Guys, what you've ordered so far is on the house.
Luigi. What the fuck this says?
Nestor indicates right. The exit door.
It's a polite way to tell you that you are free to go.
Andrea looks at his friend.
We leave when we want.
Nestor, seraphic, gets behind him, Filippo, for a firm tone.
No, it's better that you leave immediately.
Andrea?
Who the fuck are you to tell me what to do?
Oh, wow. Nestor?
I say that. I'm the humble owner of the club. But if you want, he will explain you better. Right, Filippo?
Filippo says, do you want to play this one too, also?
Sure. Yes, I can explain you better.
Then Andrea says,
let's go. In Milan, there are better clubs.
Then Nestor says,
I'm sure that I will not see you more in my club, right?
Luigi starts to hint to speak.
Fuck.
Never again!
Oh, so then Filippo accompanies Folly.
Kicks them out.
They get kicked out. Lucrezia's in the background talking to each other, or talking to Sybil, and they're smiling.
All right.
Basically, it just goes on more. Nestor's like, don't worry, it's on that, like, you guys are safe here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they go home. And I know that sounds like a very boring scene, and it was.
It's needed.
But it is the most action in the whole pilot.
I would say that's the scene that is the most like a scene, as I understand it. They go to a bar. Some creeps are hitting on them. They make it a little aggressive, and then the bar owner intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scene.
That is a scene. That's technically like, something that happens. Yeah. There is action.
It's not like two people talking about a backstory, and then one shows them her blue ass, and then it just fades to somewhere else.
This is the most of the action.
So your job is to make it less sexy and to edit it.
Yeah, so this scene was not very sexy.
If I can make a suggestion, Nestor should brandish his double action rifle at the creeps.
Get a little more.
Shoot it into the air, you know.
That would be cool. More tension in the scene.
Additionally, it's 69 pages, so you got your work cut out for you, baby.
Yeah,
right?
It is long. All the sexy scenes are when they're like together, like the two roommates at home, like tickling each other's feet for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like changing in front of each other.
But if you want to modernize that scene, yeah, you could have them like ordering off an iPad. Or
yeah.
Nestor could be like, time's up, and he shows them his iPhone clock. Points to that. There's a lot of places it could go.
A lot of work.
Yeah, I'm rock hard though, so it's perfect.
I have to go.
Andy's got
to
go.
I got to go, guys.
That's
the
number two alarm.
Yeah.
You got to move product.
I got to move product.
Okay, well, you
want to
ride shotgun, buddy?
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
I'll ride shotgun.
I'll give you my shotgun.
I got to say, we are the only podcast where the hosts are consistently outlasted by the guests. because the guests don't realize they could just say, I got to leave. This has been happening for way too long. All right, say goodbye to Andy, everyone.
Bye, Andy.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for being here, buddy. Well, to me, this has only been a couple of seconds, really.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Andy, take Silent Bob out for a pee before you go.
Yes, I'll take
so
him out.
So well-behaved, that
I'll
pooch,
get some more numbers from girls.
And don't forget to bring a little plastic bag for your hand in case he goes number two. yeah. Okay, bye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Okay, so while Andy is skulking out, let's do trivia!
All right, trivia time.
Okay,
this is
our final bet.
This is just a generic trivia. No real theme, just kind of like a random trivia.
Okay, good. Now, I don't know what I can do with trivia. I mean, I drive a truck, so.
Well, let's see. Okay. Question one. How many owls are left in Toronto?
Wow.
Is it A, 1,200, B, 500, C, at least 100, or D, 5,000?
Now, are we including Drake when he transforms at night into an owl to fly over to his ex-girlfriend's places and watch them from the nearest tree?
That does count, technically,
we're
in
counting,
Toronto,
yeah. Toronto's OVO, man.
I mean, I have to say at least 100. I mean, there's at least 100 of anything when you think about it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like how could that be even a little bit wrong?
There's 100 Silent Bobs. I saw them all.
Yeah, so
at a con. At a weird con. Bob con.
Bob con.
Sucked. There's a talking Silent Bob. Goes against the whole, you know, thing.
The whole bit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There was a Jay, but he wasn't allowed in.
Yeah, Jay couldn't get in. Go to J-Con.
J-Con, yeah.
They mouthed.
They're like, it's in the same building. It's in that hallway.
Yeah, it's
same,
over there.
Different weekend, though.
Mm-hmm.
Same building, different room, different weekend. Go there next weekend. I'm going to say 500.
Well, Stu is right. At least 100.
Oh, so there could be 500.
There could be, but no one really knows.
The equivalent of saying $1 Bob.
I always forget about owls, you know? It's like, I know they exist, but where?
And I think, Where is an interesting question with regard to owls, but I can think of a more appropriate question.
When?
Yeah.
When? Well, let me tell you, an owl, you know, I've seen a lot of owl I mistake for E.T. You hear that story, how people mistake owls for E.T.?
Yeah. Because
they're big, impressive friggin' birds, man.
Do you guys want to hear a good joke I just wrote?
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
What does the pretentious owl say?
Whom?
Come on, whom?
I didn't want to.
I gotta save that for the act.
I didn't want to step on it.
I would open and close with that.
Yeah, I like that joke for real. I'm writing that down. That's gonna be heard all over.
Someone must have said it before. Someone.
I'm not checking. That's my policy on joke theft. I don't check. I wait until Twitter calls me out,
there
and then
go.
I get sad. One time, I got called out by the artist Waves.
Waves.
Whoa.
Yeah. Of all people, the indie musician Waves really piled on me for a Twitter joke that apparently wasn't the same as his friends.
Waves, well.
Pissed off at me. He really directed a lot of hate to me.
Did you point him in the direction of the black lips and be like, yeah, well, these guys already did that too?
Honestly, I should have. Honestly, yeah.
We remember rocket bands from 5 years ago, right? Waves. Black Lips.
I used to love Waves.
Yeah, I used to be into that.
I actually don't think they sound like the Black Lips, but maybe they do.
I don't know.
It's more surf, isn't it?
Yeah,
now, the Black Lips are what happen after you have flaming lips, right? That's how that happens.
That's nice.
Save it for the act.
Oh, that's nice. Lips material.
Am I wrong?
Okay, so question two. If you work in a kitchen, you have A, man bun, B, at least part of your head is shaved, C, an eyebrow ring, or D, no real friends, so you feel like your fellow kitchen staff are your brothers.
Wait, I thought this was all going to be about owls.
No, just kind of random trivia.
General, a little bit about everything.
Into the kitchen staff crowd.
Kitchen staff.
They've got it hard enough, Ev. Okay. And I can't believe you didn't include a Coke problem in there.
I was going to say, that was my, oh my God.
Only
yeah.
The obvious answer.
They're all doing disassociatives. I mean, working in the kitchen is a tough job.
That would have been.
I don't do it, but I mean, I drive truck.
That would have been an obvious one, yeah. But no, and, these are the answers.
I'm gonna say what was the piercing one?
Eyebrow ring.
I'll do an eyebrow ring.
I might agree because I feel like that could be a man or a woman head that has that. A man bun seems to me that only a man could have. That.
Actually, mm-hmm. Let me say this: if you're a man and you're working in a sandwich kitchen, you probably got a man bun. Come on.
Wow, he's speaking inside.
Save that for the act.
That's going in the act, too. You might be a man bun. I do have my Jeff Roxborough, Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Roxborough is an off-brand.
I just accidentally shouted out the real drummer from my real high school punk band. He was wild.
Jeff Roxborough has a residency at every Reno casino, though, doesn't he?
That'd be cool.
Wow, Reno, man. I've been through there a couple times. Been married, been divorced, man. Holy hell.
Jeff Foxborough, my version of his You Might Be a Redneck. Yeah, I got you might be a man bun joke. Popularly, people do not like it.
Yeah.
If you're a bun on a man's head, yeah, you might be a man bun. It's a one punchline joke.
There you go. If you get 90 minutes last with that, I can't take that away from you.
Thanks.
Well, the answer is if you work in a kitchen, you have at least part of your head is shaved.
Oh, I forgot about that option.
Yes, so did
that
I.
That is true.
The middle part, so you can have one of those prodigy lead singer reverse mohawks.
Yeah, the fire starter.
Yeah, the fire starter.
Oh, yeah, the instigator.
Okay, and final question. In 1998, the most popular food was A, sun-dried tomato, B, pesto, or C, the color blue.
Two of these are options from Ev's actual stand-up act, which I remember well.
I'll save that for the routine.
Okay, that's probably why I want to answer the color blue then. Yeah. I don't exactly remember. Is this a Pepsi Blue reference?
My association with the color blue is more early 90s. I'm going to say sun-dried tomato.
I'm going to say the color blue, baby, because I moved a lot of Pepsi Blue in my day.
The answer is the color blue.
Oh, yeah, man. Shoot.
I booped a lot of product, and that was... blue was happening. Blue Abadie Abadie was coming a couple years later, man.
Yeah, and then that movie, Old School, You're My Boy Blue.
Holy hell, man.
The movie where Paul Giamatti turned blue. Remember that one?
And of course, there's a blue ass.
I think it's got. It's like a kids' movie, and he's
Sideways.
Like a villain.
Sideways.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And he Thomas drinks Hayden, so much blueberry wine.
Thomas Hayden. Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church looks at him and goes, "Oh, that's no way to meet chicks."
Right. And there's a really offensive comedy in it.
Anyway, if you guys liked that blue, color blue 1998 joke and you're thinking, that's funny, check out my act. I do open mics at Jack Astor's around Toronto. And
recently posted a joke to Twitter, a funny joke about Linkin Park, and then got absolutely piled on by Linkin Park stans.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have, I was in a fight with a 20-year-old girl. Who just loves Linkin Park.
I know Among Us doesn't. It's been so nice having you here, Stu Sidewinder Squoge.
Squoge, that's right. Thanks so much for having me. Come on back, man.
And I know that you are a big fan of local comedian Chris Sandiford. You were really talking our ears off about how great this Chris guy is. So if people wanted to find Chris online, or even if he performs in the city, where could they look?
You know, I mean, look, this guy's he's at Bad Dog now most Sundays. He's at Comedy Bar most days. Look, go check him out. He's got a new website. It's chrisandiford.com. And
he's on Twitter.
And he's on Twitter. Oh, Chris. O-H Chris.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you to our producer, Stefan. And thank you to you, the listener. Goodbye, everyone.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar.
Hey. Griffin Steve here.
And we want to tell you about our show.
It's called Killed to Death, and every week we solve
a made-up
murder.
It's all improv, with a ton of great comedy guests, like Sean Cullen,
Mark Little,
Sarah Hennessy,
Becky Johnson,
Chris Locke,
a polite no from one of the members of legendary Canadian comedy group Kids in the Hall.
Sometimes you can hear the guys who live above us talking through the ceiling.
Nicole Passmore, and many more.
Check it out on the Sonar Network, where you can find this show, or search Killed to Death wherever you get your podcasts.
Killed to Death. It's usually less than an hour.